Hi everyone, Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the Washington Weekly Podcast on the UBS In the Now Podcast channel. Joining us once again for the conversation, glad to welcome back Shane Lieberman, Senior Governmental Affairs Advisor with Governmental Affairs US here at UBS. Shane, thank you for dropping by on this Tuesday. We are 1 week out from Election Day, it's hard to believe. So thank you for dropping by and looking forward to our conversation today.
Dan, good to be with you, and it's quite incredible that here we are. We're in the home stretch.
Right. So we are recording here on Tuesday, October 29th, with 1 week to go at this point. So, Shane, can you provide us with a sense for what polling is pointing to as of today, namely across some of these key swing states we've been talking about over the past couple of months?
Yeah. Well, first, let me just take a moment to say that, as of now, 50 million Americans have voted. Across America, between absentee and early voting. So, considering that I think about 155 to 158 million people voted in 2020, we're essentially one third of the way there, right? And with a week left, a lot of those people who voted already are people who had their minds made up. So, we're getting to that territory where still a lot of people who are voting will also have their minds made up. But there is that remaining question of how many people are still going back and forth of figuring out who they're going to support. And maybe those are some of the holdouts, if you will, at this moment. And And with that, you see repeatedly in the swing states, the seven of them, that the lead from one team to the other is all within the margin of error. You may see one day Harris winning in Arizona by one, in the most recent poll I've seen in Arizona. However, tomorrow I bet I'll see an Arizona poll that says Trump up by one or two. And that is consistent throughout the swing states, that the pollings are all within the margin of error, meaning that, polls typically have a margin of error about 3.5%. And so while we may see polls consistently saying that, Harris or Trump is going to win Wisconsin or Michigan, that's not definitive. It's all within the margin of error, and it's going to come down to those last few votes. One, of people actually showing up to vote, but two, also maybe those few people who are going back and forth in their minds of do they vote for Harris or Trump? And those could be the people that decide this election.
Very tight with 1 week to go. It is encouraging to hear how many votes have already been submitted. So I'm curious, Shane, how the presidential candidates, I know it's been a very eventful past few days for the both of them, though, in terms of their closing arguments, how are they spending their final days on the campaign trail?
Yeah, no, I think Trump did two events yesterday in Georgia. And before that, of course, he had his big event at Madison Square Garden. Harris tonight has a big event in Washington, D.C. But, as we know and have talked about, it comes down to the swing states, right? And so you're seeing the teams concentrate in those states. At Harris, you're going to see her hit Arizona, Nevada, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. Trump is similar. I think he is not hitting Arizona and as I mentioned, he hit Georgia, which Harris I don't think is going to hit herself in the final days. However, her vice presidential nominee, Governor Tim Walz, will be in Georgia. He'll also, I believe, go into North Carolina, and Vance will kind of probably focus on those Midwest states that are neighboring his home state of Ohio and focus on Michigan and Wisconsin. So, these states, as we've talked about for a while now, are going to decide the outcome of this election.
Well, definitely a busy few days ahead for the presidential candidates and their campaigns. Outside of the election, Shane, just to check in on geopolitics for a moment, of course, we have been tracking the ongoing developments within the Middle East, namely Israel. They have commenced recently a retaliatory response against Iran, this following Iran's recent missile attack just a few weeks ago. So what has Israel's response consisted of, and might there be more to follow?
Yeah, so I think it was on Friday night that Israel attacked Iran and took out missile sites and the other missile facilities, you know, where they may construct parts for missiles to be launched. So, you know, this was a very strategic attack that left very few people injured or killed. And that targeting was on purpose. You know, I think, you know, having an attack that killed civilians or many Iranians could have, you know, backfired. And so you're seeing the U.S. Defense Department and Secretary of State Blinken urge that this now is an opportunity to have a ceasefire, not only between Israel and Iran, but between Israel and Hamas and Hezbollah. And so there are early reports that there are some ceasefire talks in the works. And so we'll see how that goes. You know, Israel, with the killing of Sinwar, who was the leader of Hamas, and several Hezbollah leaders, it provides that opportunity as an inflection point for the sides to maybe hit the pause button and come together on a ceasefire. You know, Iran has indicated that they're going to strike back, but, you know, we'll see if that happens. Israel is still positioned to strike again, given that, you know, this attack on Iran was in retaliation for the launching of almost 200 ballistic missiles at Israel. But Israel also has in mind that there was an attempted assassination of Prime Minister Netanyahu. So they're examining options there. So, you know, there is some potential hope for ceasefire talks to yield results here, but I think it's too early for us to feel comfortable that that will be the outcome.
Shane, thank you for bringing us up to speed on the latest. Of course, remains a very sensitive and fluid situation, so we'll continue to keep our listeners informed, as well as to how Election Day takes shape next Tuesday. I know you and I will speak the following day on November 6th. By then, we should know more, so looking forward to our conversation next week. Though, Shane, thank you again for your time today. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Dan. Yeah, looking forward to catching up next week, although I do have a feeling that, you know, we may go into overtime and not know the full election results for a few more days after the 6th. But, you know, hopefully we'll have some indications by the 6th.
Indeed. We'll have to see how it plays out, though. Thank you, Shane. Appreciate it. Again, today we have been joined by Shane Lieberman, Senior Governmental Affairs Advisor with Governmental Affairs U.S. here at UBS. I do want to remind our listeners and their clients that you can now locate the latest Washington Weekly publication available on UBS.com/Washington Weekly. From UBS Studios, I'm Dan Cassidy. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights, at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreement and disclosures that we provide to you about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary or ask your UBS financial advisor for a copy.